Friends and family of Bethlehem, joy. What is it? And where is it? Do you have it? Well, first of all, as we discuss this fruit of the Spirit, we once more go back to remember that in the long list of those different fruit named, it starts with love. In order for us to have joy in our heart, in order for us to have joy today, we must first have love. The good news that we have today is that Jesus has already filled us with these same fruit, with these same gifts. You can show love and you can show joy today because God does it through you with Himself and His Spirit. Today, joy, in which we'll find out as we mark this third Sunday in Advent, is a little different than what we often think of it as. We tend to think of it as happiness, something that is achievable by maybe things or people or circumstances. However, I want to question that perception. Joy today, I want you to think of as an awareness of the presence of God. And when you think of that, you know that you always have the capability of joy. Sometimes we just have to dig a little deeper and realize where it is all along. So for us to shape our thoughts, prepare us for what I'm about to say next, I have one more little clip.
Never forget that cup of coffee. Well, a couple years ago, I was traveling when my schedule worked out on Christmas Eve. I thought the airport was going to be a zoo, so I got there a couple hours early. It wasn't. It wasn't crowded at all. So for me, that means coffee. So I get down into my terminal, Terminal D, and I see the sign. I get in line. And so it's my turn to order. And I was greeted with this very warm and sincere welcome. This woman said to me, "Hi, my name's Lily. What's your name?" I said, "I'm Ryan." She said, "Ryan, what can I make for you today?" I said, "Well, I want a grande pumpkin spice latte." She said, "You want whipped cream on that, don't you?" I said, yeah, I want the whipped cream. She said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do." She said, "I'm going to make it extra hot, load it up with whipped cream, sprinkle a little nutmeg on top. You're going to love it." I said, "Sounds great." She said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Cleveland." She said, "Are you going back to Cleveland to spend the holiday with your family?" I said, "Yes." Now, at this point, I start looking around for the camera, right? I mean, I'm trying to get a latte. So I move down the line, and the conversation continues, and she's funny. She's asking me questions about my family and our holiday traditions. She's laughing, and I'm laughing, and she hands me my drink and says to me, "Ryan, have a safe trip back to Cleveland. Go create some extraordinary memories with your family. When you come back through the Minneapolis airport, I want you to stop here and tell me all about it." There's that. I get my drink, I start walking away, and I stop and I look back at this woman, and I think to myself, you know, it's Christmas Eve. Most people would rather be anywhere else in the world than serving coffee in an airport. Not her. It was like she was meant to be there. And I couldn't help myself, I had to go back. So I did. I walked back and I said, "Excuse me, Lily." And you know, she jumps around. "Ryan, is everything okay with the latte?" I said, "No." I said, "The latte is perfect. I just had to come back and ask you, what is your secret to making such meaningful connections over serving coffee?" Well, she corrected me. She said, "Ryan, I'm not serving coffee. I'm pouring happiness into people's lives." I said, "You're pouring what?" She wants to be happy in her life. She wants to be around happy people. So she chooses, even on Christmas Eve, to smile, to have fun, to help people, to just be happy. You know, it's interesting. When I met Lily, she would have had no way of knowing this, but I was pretty heavy in the heart and had a lot on my mind. About 3 months before that holiday, I got a call from Mom. We got some really tough medical news about Dad. And it was a terminal diagnosis, and we knew we probably weren't going to have a lot of time. So I was sitting in that airport on Christmas Eve, not in the best place in the world. I will never forget that cup of coffee.
So the speaker talked about happiness, but I think in reality he's actually talking about joy. Because you see, it's not about the circumstances that we find ourselves in or the circumstances of life that determine our emotion. It's something that comes from within, and it's a gift that you already have. As people baptized in the blood of Christ and claimed and redeemed by our Savior Jesus, God has already filled you with His Holy Spirit. And whatever you do today, it is because of God and His joy flowing through you, because of you, even in spite of you. But joy today is a contentment to know that, yes, things aren't always okay in life. Yes, people get sick. Yes, people have terminal diagnoses even. Yes, there is such a thing as evil in the world. Bad things do happen to us that we think of as good people. 2020 years do happen. And how do we respond to those? It's really easy to complain, isn't it? It's really easy to fuss and maybe even get angry, to maybe yell and spit at each other, beat each other up, maybe even online about it. But as Christians, we know something deep down that we can still have a little bit of joy. We have a little Christmas spirit, don't we, folks? We know that, just like Paul, we have learned the secret of happiness. We've learned the secret of joy, that is to be content in all situations. We know in Scripture that Jesus came into our world so that we may have joy. And we may have joy that is complete, whole, perfect, unified. And that's the reason today that we heard in our Scripture lesson, both from our Gospel, where the infant in utero, John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, leaped for joy for that same reason. He was in the presence of God before he was even Jesus walking on earth. Think of the times where you maybe have felt that same joy. Maybe it was after a church service. Maybe it was after a good Bible study. Maybe it was at the birth of a son or daughter. Just the miracle that God gave you that. Joy is that contentment because you know you're in the presence of God. And that's why we even heard in that little longer reading, our Old Testament lesson today from the prophet Isaiah. He talked about some really strange imagery about the wilderness and dry land being glad itself, the earth being glad, that the desert blossoms with crocuses, flowers, and that even says something even more startling, that God's people will go out in joy, and that even the mountains and hills before you will go into singing, and the trees of the field, I love this, the trees of the field will even clap their hands. That's the image of God's people being led out of the sin of exile in the Old Testament. But that's the same promise that you and I have today as we look forward to eternal life. We look for that Christmas hymn, Joy to the World, to be true today. That even the rocks, hills, and plains can't stop but sing for joy because Jesus is here. The Creator of the universe is here for you and for me still today. We don't have to wait for Christmas to happen because it already has. You and I have Jesus still today, and that changes the way we look at our lives, doesn't it? Changes how we treat people. Maybe we can have a little bit of joy because we have Jesus. He has given you His very own life. Not the life you live today, but the life that you have to promise to come. And that's the joy that we remember all of our loved ones this Christmas that maybe we might be missing. Our faithful friends and family from long ago that have kept the faith, we remember them with joy because we know that they are in the presence of God. And you and I are in the presence of God today. So make that a way to remember that when you see the Christmas lights out there and when you feel your life is like this string of lights, a tangled mess that we can't seem to always get untangled, right? You've had that problem. You dig them out of your garage or basement. You don't know how to get them straight. You can look at those Christmas lights today and remember that there was once one who not only untangled the mess of our lives, but stretched out his hands wide on the cross for you. And he did it for joy. He gave his life, Jesus gave his life for you for joy. Because you are his. Remember that today as we celebrate this gift and as we get into the Christmas spirit a little bit more. But I won't leave you on that note. Think of joy today as we hear once more from a friend. I call him the Merry Christmas Maniac.
Hello, my name is Lewis, and I love Christmas. I love everything about it. The snow, the lights. I'm sorry. But most of all, I love the reason for the season. That's why this year, as a Christian, I got so tired of hearing that disrespectful phrase. You know the one. Happy holidays. Every time somebody'd say it to me, I would give them a good old Merry Christmas right in their face. Booyah for the Messiah!
Stop getting riled up. You're gonna hurt yourself.
Mom! I'm trying to talk here.
Whatever. I'm calling Dr. Goldstein.
Sorry. I had to move back in with my mother after all this.
Tell the truth, sweetie.
Fine. I've always lived with my mother.
Against my better judgment.
Mom! Can I just tell my story? So recently, I went to the supermarket to pick up some eggnog. As I walked in, the guy standing next to the grocery carts throws a big, "Happy holidays, mister," right in my face like it's no big deal. But guess what?
What, honey?
It was a rhetorical question, Mom. I am building the drama of the story.
Always so dramatic.
What? Oh, I'm the dramatic one? Oh, really? Anyway, the kid, this happy holidays punk, just got me riled up. So I grab the nog and I go to pay. The clerk rings me up, and what does she say? Happy holidays. I was enraged. I was in a blind fury. I jump up on the counter, I grab the microphone, and I yell into it. It's not a holiday, people! It's Christmas! I'm mad as heck, and I'm not gonna take it anymore! Unfortunately, my foot slipped, triggering the conveyor belt. Now, bread and milk doesn't seem to be moving too fast, but a 175-pound man flies off that belt. And fly I did. Not like a majestic eagle or a Superman. I flew like a partridge falling out of a pear tree. I flew into a display of Chia Pet nativity sets. Thus, my current condition. And then something funny happened. A gift arrived for me. Mom, a little help, please? No, not that one. No. To your left. Your left! No, the one that arrived! That's the one. Thank you.
You watch your tone with me, mister.
Huh? It was from Elizabeth. The girl whose checkout stand I'd commandeered. She'd given me a gift. At first, it didn't make sense. I didn't deserve anything good from her. Not the way I acted. I acted like a maniac. But then I got to thinking. I had been bound up in religion. And I didn't want to be bound up anymore. Religion is always having to be right. Grace
That's being right with others, being right with God. So this gift, I don't know what's in it. It could be more eggnog. It could be a Chia Pet nativity set. Doesn't matter. The real gift is better than either of those things.
Oh, you two are destined for wedlock!
Mom! Why did you do that? Why do you always go there? We're not going to get married!
It's a match made.
I don't even know her!
But you said she
was... It doesn't matter if I said she was cute!
So once more today, may the peace and joy of our Lord Jesus guard your hearts into the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.